And a special edition of the afternoon show, certainly the beginning of the afternoon show today, because as you probably are aware, unless you've been living under a rock, we have electricity issues that are beginning now to impact quite seriously on lifestyle and, more importantly, the economic viability of businesses, not only here, but of course across the entire region and indeed the entire country. But what we're looking at is our immediate surroundings, the greater Ballito region, and what we can expect going forward, and what we can expect in terms of the real situation that as being presented. There are issues in circulation with Andre De Reiter from Eskom explaining that we could be looking at load shedding reaching stage 15. God help us all, what that might look like, what that's going to do to businesses in the region should that happen. But that's the worst case scenario. Best case scenario, we say, looking at Pravin Gordhan's explanation, that maybe we've got 4 years of load shedding. At the moment, we've got gas turbines running 24/7, except that there's very little diesel in the system right now, and those turbines are only designed to supposedly run it when, you know, we're reaching peak load as a reserve measure. I think we're in trouble, but I am not the expert. And to help us understand where we are in time and space, we have two experts in the studio with us today. From Guadaguza Municipality, we've got Sibusiso Jali, who is the Executive Director of Electrical Services. Welcome to you, sir, and thank you for joining us on the afternoon show. And then Warwick Chapman, who is the chairperson of the Guadaguza Residents Forum and is also a professional in the renewable energy space. So wearing two hats today, it's good to have you both on board. And can I ask you, Mr. Jali, to possibly explain to us how bad the situation is with regard to electricity security currently, and going forward, do we expect it to get worse?
Greetings to the listeners. In terms of electricity issues, it's worse because currently we are at stage 6. We are mostly being affected by stage 6 of load shedding. Then in terms of our causes, that load shedding is mainly from the power stations breakdowns there. And then from power stations, if there is less power being produced from power stations, then we experience the under frequency. So the frequency for the whole network goes down. And when the frequency of the network collapse goes down, then it can result in shutting down of all the power stations that are currently operating.
So the entire grid can collapse, which would be the worst case scenario.
Correct, yes.
And to mitigate against that, this is why we have this intermittent load shedding, as it's called.
Correct.
Okay. Obviously, that is the situation as it's currently presents itself. What Eskom is doing about the situation, heaven only knows. I know that there are plans afoot to reconstitute the board, which sounds like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic to me, but I'm not an expert, as I say. Apart from relying on Eskom, is there any space in our environment where we can incorporate alternative supply? And I'm talking particularly now in terms of what Cape Town has suggested. Jordan Hill Lewis, the executive mayor of Cape Town, is saying that they can't allow the shortage of electricity supply from Eskom to mitigate against the growth of the Cape Town metro economy, and so they are going to create their own electricity by allowing businesses and individuals to create a kind of network, a mini network of photovoltaic solar power, which they will buy, like you are buying currently electricity from Eskom, and then sell back into the grid. Is there any possibility of that happening here? I believe it's a viable, or maybe Warwick, you could come in with that kind of observation. Is it possible to do something like that?
Well, yes. So at a high level, the answer is yes. But Mr. Jali no doubt will give us some of the complexities from a utilities perspective. The sun shines during the day, and it shines at its brightest and produces it the most power in the middle of the day when
demand is lowest.
Eskom and Mr. Jali need the power least. So the answer there is, it's not so much to a question of can we feed power into the grid, But is the municipality positioned to do something with that power?
Well, let's find out then, Mr. Jali. Where are we with renewables?
Okay, I'll start from the province. From the province, there is a provincial energy task team that has been formed. Yesterday, we had a meeting where we discussed the terms and the terms of reference for that task team. So what is the task team looking at is mainly issues around the energy, of which the most critical one is the security of the supply of the energy, since we have got all these load shedding. In the province for KZN, mainly the leading municipality is mainly Ethekwini. Ethekwini is that 400 megawatt project which has been initiated, and then all other municipality who has got the electricity distributors, there's 22 of them here in KZN. They form part of that task team. So then there's going to be some movement and also recommendations from that task team. The task team is going to report to AWG for the province, and then from there it's going to be reported to the cabinet, all those recommendations. That in terms of the province, what solutions are there in terms of making sure that in terms of power there's available adequate power, of which also there's security and also a reliable power.
Okay, but in reality, because we've heard many commissions getting together and identifying issues and reporting back to government and higher structures, etc., it's a lot of talk. And what we need now is action. Are there, and I'm looking at your CV, I see that you're intimately connected and familiar with the generation of power, having been part of the Eskom structure for many years. So you understand the issue very, very clearly. Are there viable solutions available right now in terms of either renewables, or I think we hear about the car powership project that we could plug into and get instant power, but that might kill the environment. What kind of possible solutions could there be?
Okay, there are solutions. On the national side, in terms of the base load coverage, those power stations that supply base load, that's what is required. But local now, at the municipality level, then there can be solutions of the IPPs, as the president has approved that for IPP up to 100 megawatt, the municipality can procure. So those are the solutions that are available.
And that's wind, solar, and maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, mainly is the wind, is the solar, and also the biomass. Yes, yeah.
Okay.
One of these. And also, depending on the terrain, you can have like a small hydro. But like what goes here, where we are, let me say Ilembe, in terms of hydro, there's not much places where you can have a hydro generation type of IPP. But in terms of solar, biomass, those ones can be done. Then when it comes to the wind one, if you check the environmental studies and also all these feasibilities that has been done by CSIR, you'll find that in terms of wind here on this coast for KZN around Ilembe, is not much that you can harvest. It's not same like as you go to Western Cape. Then in terms of wind, it is adequate wind.
Steady supply.
Yes.
Ours is intermittent at best.
Yes, correct.
Warwick, you were looking to come in there.
For which we are very grateful. I prefer not to have the wind here. Yeah, so Mr. Charlie's made reference to, for example, Sterkfontein Dam. Some people might know, sitting at the top of the escarpment. There is actually a dam below it, and Eskom uses excess power during the day to pump water from the lower dam up to the Sterkfontein Dam, and then during the night or during the evening peak, that water flows downhill through turbines. That's pumped storage. And as Mr. Charlie has pointed out, we don't have the sort of geography in this immediate vicinity to consider building something like that. Pumped storage schemes were also developed in the era before grid-scale batteries. But grid-scale batteries exist now. And indeed, both Eskom and municipalities like the City of Cape Town have tenders out there for grid-scale batteries. A grid-scale battery is literally chemically exactly the same kind of battery that someone would put in their house. It's just a much bigger one. And the utilities that are procuring grid-scale batteries are doing so in order to potentially stop load shedding 1 and 2 from happening in their area, or cutting the length of load shedding periods in half, that kind of thing. Now, Kwadukuza has a fairly large war chest. It's actually financially a pretty well-run municipality. And that would be a good thing for the municipality to consider investing its money in, because the municipality would be able to sell electricity during the time that they would otherwise be load shedding and thus generating no money. And it would dramatically lessen the impact of load shedding on us, and it would make Kwadukuza one of the leaders in adopting renewable energy.
And how quickly could a solution like that be established?
Well, I think technically, in terms of the connection of such a solution to the grid, Mr. Jali would need to reply. But I imagine that once the technical hurdles are out the way, at the end of the day, that's an electrical engineering challenge that we know can be surpassed because it's being used all over the world now. The biggest delay inevitably is around procurement. So I think, you know, if all the stars aligned, that sort of thing could happen in a year. But in reality, in South Africa, we're talking many years.
Wow. And in the meantime, we have a massive demand, if you like, for connection to new developments that are going up all around us. Surely the availability of electricity and water are the two main concerns when it comes to the viability of these developments, and obviously the increased revenue streams to the municipality. So it must be an issue that's being taken really seriously. Mr. Jali, in reality, what Mr. Chapman has been speaking about, is this something that you've considered?
Yes, yeah, we've considered that one. In terms of process of procuring IPP, first it is the police for IPP, then the procurement, then after that one is the construction and implementation. So currently we are at stage zero, where like we need to have a policy. And then that, and then once we have got that policy, then for procurement, then initiating the procurement first, there must be approvals from Department of Mayors and Energy that you are sourcing, you're gonna be sourcing power from IPP. So then there must be feasibility studies being done. Then once all the approvals has been done, then you go the procurement process. Since it's we are in a private sector, then it has to go to public for advertise, and then everyone needs to be given a fair chance.
And what is the duration of that process, the shortest possible duration that you could foresee?
Okay, currently as municipality Kwadukuza, we have opened an energy office. That energy office is the one that will be dealing mainly with these IPP related items. So in terms of first the feasibility, as municipality from the office of the MM, they have applied for funding to get somebody to do feasibility studies, because from the department of, they can't approve any IPP engagement without the feasibility studies being done. So from office of the MM, that application for funding has been done. Then once we got that funding, then feasibility is to be done, and then after that then we go for procurement and implementation.
So what are we talking about? Months, years, decades? And the reason I ask is because obviously every day that goes by where the electricity supply remains as tenuous as it is right now puts an enormous strain on particularly small, micro, medium enterprises, which comprise quite a large percentage of the businesses in the greater Kwadukuza region. So there's a massive requirement there, I suppose, for just some kind of certainty. And the reason I ask is twofold. One, obviously, to try and get some certainty in terms of going forward. But secondly, in the event of this process being stretched out for as long as these things can possibly be, for good reason, obviously, due process has to be followed. But in the interim, what are the chances of allowing businesses and individuals to solar up the rooftops of their homes and factories and schools, etc., and in the interim start sharing the excess load into the grid, which I believe technically is a possibility?
Okay, yeah, that one is possible. Let me explain this one. In terms of power generation from locally, it's divided into two. There's one which we call small-scale embedded generation, which is a generation that can only go up to 1 megawatt. And then there's one now when you can produce power and then be able to sell to whoever can distribute that power. So that one is the one which is IPP. So when it comes to homes and also the school, for power that's less than 1 megawatt, that one we do have a policy and we are currently implementing that one. So we do accept the applications for people who wants to like to put a solar on the roof, but only up to 1 megawatt.
Now, I believe there's also a bit of a twist in that apparently government is looking at, or Eskom is looking at, levying a charge on domestic solar installations. Is that a rumor or is that fact?
Yes, currently, if you go to Eskom on their tariff structure, they do have a tariff for this small-scale embedded generation. From our side, currently, we don't have a tariff. We have appointed a service provider, and also we have engaged NERSA in terms of those tariffs.
So does that mean that residents of Guadaguza are free from the Eskom tariff and they deal directly with KDM?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so that's a relief. Yes, yeah. And do we have the kind of meters that if you generate excess power into the grid, either roll back or stand still?
Okay, currently for small-scale embedded generations, on our policy, we don't allow backfeeding to the network. Yes, sir, because we don't have the infrastructure for that bidirectional metering. So flow of energy either to the consumer or back to the grid. We don't have a system. So for our policy, we're still going to amend our policy. Once we have got the system where, in terms of metering, it will do that bidirectional.
Okay.
Yes.
Another question I want to ask, Mr. Chapman, anytime you want to come in, you're here, yes, to contribute. We'd love you to. There is constantly a request in circulation that when the power is down, when load shedding is on, to switch off your geysers, particularly geysers and other appliances that could draw too much when it comes to re-establishing the grid. There was a stage where Guadaguza had a system in place where you had access to most domestic geysers by means of some kind of very clever device. Has that fallen away?
Okay, the system is still there, but it burnt. There was a problem at Shaka Scroll. So then it burnt. Then we tried to get a service provider to repair it, but we unfortunately couldn't get a service provider. So that system is still there. Just need to repair the whole infrastructure at Shaka Scroll that was burnt.
Is that a possibility?
Yes, yeah, we're still going to repair that one. Eskom promised to assist us with those repairs, but it fell apart after because it was an initiative from Megawatt Park. And then we put our application that, okay, they can assist us with the repairing of the complete system.
Okay. Now, just simply because we're always time is against us, looking at the future, the short-term future of the region from an electricity point of view, how concerned are you as the Director of Electrical Supply, the Executive Director of Electrical Services, how concerned are you that we're going to run out of power?
Yeah, it's a very big concern, especially when the impact of load shedding is not only to consumers of them not getting power. Also, our infrastructure, it gets damaged because it's this switching on and off, and then you find that our network are overloaded. So when the power comes on, then most of our equipment gets damaged. Ooh. Especially where there are fuses. Those fuses are blown out, and then some cable terminations, you find that they are being damaged.
So
it's a big concern because in terms of infrastructure damage, it's increasing.
So we're in a real serious situation. What can we do to assist? Because at this point in time, I think we're all hands on deck. We need to all be together looking for solutions. Warwick, have you got anything to add that makes the situation a little bit more palatable?
I think one of the challenges here is really, from the KDRF's perspective, is encapsulated in the communication that we put to the mayor quite recently. There has been no communication from KDM about load shedding and how they are handling load shedding and how they wish us as a community to respond to that. And so in the absence of communication, there has been lots of speculation. And I think two issues stand out there, and they generate significant angst from the community towards KDM electricity in particular. Whereas in other areas, the KDRF has worked quite hard to, for example, say, guys, it's not the technician's fault. It's not the fault that fuses are blowing and cable terminations are being damaged. This is something that happens as a result of load shedding, and those guys are doing the best they can. Don't phone the control center and dump on them because, you know, you're complaining to the wrong people. But the two issues that are really causing stress are there's a very large and very wealthy portion of this municipality that doesn't get load shed.
Is that a fact? And why, Mr. Jolly, is there an area that doesn't get load shed?
Okay, on that one, on the network, on the southern network, we get power from two Eskom points, the one in Driefontein and the other one in Shaka Skraal. Then from Shaka Skraal, it supplies the Eskom peaking plant, which is Avon. And then for Avon, Eskom, they requested that power station must not be load shed because there are problems with water supply for the production process for electricity. So
it's for good practical reason that area is not being load shed. It's got nothing to do with favoring certain connected individuals, as might be considered a possibility. It's good to know. See, this is the kind of information that is essential, I think. We really are looking for solutions.
So we are aware, obviously, of that reason, and it's something that we have communicated as often as we can. But it's really important that the municipality explains that to people, because otherwise it's just wild conjecture around politicians or even Mr. Jolly or myself who happen to live in that area and don't get load shed. And in fact, it has nothing to do with the fact that Mr. Jolly lives in that area or that politicians live in Simbiti or whatever. It's a practical reason related to that Avon peaking power plant needing a power supply. And then the second issue that gets people hot under the collar is the fact that Itiquini somehow still has this grace of not being load shed or having reduced stages of load shedding because of the flood, which apparently somehow affected them more than it affected us. And we've heard nothing from the municipality about that. To what extent did the municipality go and fight with Eskom to get the same dispensation for us? Or to what extent is it still fair that Itiquini are sitting at lower levels of load shedding because of a flood that happened many, many months ago?
Mr. Charlie, where do we stand there?
Okay, on that one, we did engage with Eskom. And then because our load is very small compared to Itiquini, in terms of the requirements for load shedding, there is an amount each area must contribute in terms of load to be load shed. So we engaged Eskom, and then Eskom forwarded our request to Megawatt Park. And then it was discussed, and then Eskom came back and said, no, we can't load shed you. Sorry, we will continue load shedding you. So the effects of floods for your area in terms of your road is very minimum. As compared to Itiquini, currently they've got a lot of industrial areas. Those industrial areas, they contribute to about 900 megawatt. Yeah, it's around 800 megawatt, of which currently they are not operational. So since Itiquini, they've got their own control center or SCADA, they do the load shedding internal. So then they can play around who to load shed inside the municipality.
Okay, do we not have the same?
No, on our side as a municipality, the switching is done by Eskom. We don't do switching. So if there are customers that need to be load shed, we do it manual because currently we don't have a SCADA system. We are currently having a project where we're going to implement the SCADA system and control center. That project is currently at the construction phase. So by 2023, towards the end of 2023, then there's going to be income or outcome from that project, which is the SCADA system.
So then you'll be doing the load shedding?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
So you'll have discretion as to, in terms of leniency in certain instances when things need to be adjusted. Well, at least we're getting the information, and this is the important thing. And sadly, time now has run its course. But I think as an initial start to an ongoing, it's a mountain we're climbing together to get ourselves back to a situation where hopefully electricity security will be established, re-established, and load shedding hopefully will be minimized and ultimately abandoned completely. But to get there, as we've discussed, it's going to take a long haul and lots of minds applied. And most important, I think, from a community perspective, if we have the information, we can work with it. And I would like to extend again the invitation to you, Sipho Mkhize from the communications section of KDM, has been a very, very good source of information. We'd like to extend that invitation to you as well, Sipho, and to the KDRF, who does a remarkable job of keeping the community informed. Let's create an alliance where at least we can minimize the panic and the rumor that is often damaging in the extreme. When we have the facts, we can work with them. I thank you very much indeed for your participation. Sipho Siso Jali is the Executive Director of Electrical Services from KDM. Warwick Chapman is the chairperson of the Guadaguza Residents Forum. We look forward to continuing the conversation over the weeks and months to come. Thank you, gentlemen. The afternoon show continues. The news is next.